Today is the third day of December. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's a pleasure to be here with you today as we come in out of the cold, find ourselves around this global campfire together, release the tensions, exhale, unshackle ourselves from all the kinds of things that can hijack us, and just come here into this peaceful oasis that we create together every single day, knowing that whatever's going on out there, it can wait a few minutes. It's not all going to fall apart in a few minutes. These few minutes may change the way that we handle any number of things. And I love that. I love that there's this place. This is the place that we come together. And each day we take the next step forward in that place together. And so this next step forward will be leading us back into the book of Daniel today, chapter 11, verse 2 through 35. Now then, I will reveal the truth to you. Three more Persian kings will reign, to be succeeded by a fourth, far richer than the others. He will use his wealth to stir up everyone to fight against the kingdom of Greece. Then a mighty king will rise to power who will rule with great authority and accomplish everything he sets out to do. But at the height of his power, his kingdom will be broken apart and divided into four parts. It will not be ruled by the king's descendants, nor will the kingdom hold the authority it once had, for his empire will be uprooted and given to others. The king of the south will increase in power, but one of his own officials will become more powerful than he and will rule his kingdom with great strength. Some years later, an alliance will be formed between the king of the north and the king of the south. The daughter of the king of the south will be given in marriage to the king of the north to secure the alliance. But she will lose her influence over him, and so will her father. She will be abandoned along with her supporters. But when one of her relatives becomes king of the south, he will raise an army and enter the fortress of the king of the north and defeat him. When he returns to Egypt, he will carry back their idols with him, along with priceless articles of gold and silver. For some years afterward, he will leave the king of the north alone. Later, the king of the north will invade the realm of the king of the south, but will soon return to his own land. However, the sons of the king of the north will assemble a mighty army that will advance like a flood and carry the battle as far as the enemy's fortress. Then, in a rage, the king of the south will rally against the vast forces assembled by the king of the north and will defeat them. After the enemy army is swept away, the king of the south will be filled with pride and will execute many thousands of his enemies. But his success will be short-lived. A few years later, the king of the north will return with a fully equipped army far greater than before. At that time, there will be a general uprising against the king of the south. Violent men among your own people will join them in fulfillment of this vision, but they will not succeed. Then the king of the north will come and lay siege to a fortified city and capture it. The best troops of the south will not be able to stand in the face of the onslaught. The king of the north will march onward unopposed. None will be able to stop him. He will pause in the glorious land of Israel, intent on destroying it. He will make plans to come with the might of his entire kingdom and will form an alliance with the king of the south. He will give him a daughter in marriage in order to overthrow the kingdom from within. But his plan will fail. After this, he will turn his attention to the coastland and conquer many cities. but a commander from another land will put an end to his insolence and cause him to retreat in shame. He will take refuge in his own fortresses, but will stumble and fall and be seen no more. His successor will send out a tax collector to maintain the royal splendor, but after a very brief reign, he will die, though not from anger or in battle. The next to come to power will be a despicable man who is not in line for royal succession. He will slip in when least expected and take over the kingdom by flattery and intrigue. Before him, great armies will be swept away, including a covenant prince. With deceitful promises, he will make various alliances. He will become strong, despite having only a handful of followers. Without warning, he will enter the richest areas of the land. Then he will distribute among his followers the plunder and wealth of the rich, something his predecessors had never done. He will plot the overthrow of strongholds, but this will last for only a short while. Then he will stir up his courage and raise a great army against the King of the South. The King of the South will go to battle with a mighty army, but to no avail, for there will be plots against him. His own household will cause his downfall. His army will be swept away, and many will be killed. Seeking nothing but each other's harm, these kings will plot against each other at the conference table, attempting to deceive each other. But it will make no difference, for the end will come at the appointed time. The King of the North will then return home with great riches. On the way, he will set himself against the people of the Holy Covenant, doing much damage before continuing his journey. Then, at the appointed time, he will once again invade the South, but this time the result will be different. For warships from western coastlands will scare him off, and he will withdraw and return home. But he will vent his anger against the people of the Holy Covenant and reward those who forsake the Covenant. His army will take over the temple fortress, pollute the sanctuary, put a stop to the daily sacrifices, and set up the sacrilegious object that causes desecration. He will flatter and win over those who have violated the covenant. But the people who know their God will be strong and will resist him. Wise leaders will give instruction to many, but these teachers will die by fire and sword, or they will be jailed and robbed. During these persecutions, little help will arrive, and many who join them will not be sincere, and some of the wise will fall victim to persecution. In this way, they will be refined and cleansed and made pure until the time of the end, for the appointed time is still to come. First John 3:7-24. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now, we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. Psalm 122. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. A psalm of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And now here we are, standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a well-built city. Its seamless walls cannot be breached. All the tribes of Israel, the Lord's people, make their pilgrimage here. They come to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as the law requires of Israel. Here stand the thrones where judgment is given, the thrones of the dynasty of David. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem. Proverbs 29:1. Whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. All right, let's talk about 1 John again, but let's first go back to John, the Gospel of John, to hear Jesus' words that pertain to what 1 John is telling us today. So from John chapter 13, Jesus tells us, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So let's use that as the backdrop for what is being said in 1 John today. We will be known as a disciple of Jesus by our love for one another. Now we move to 1 John and our reading today, and I quote, "If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person?" And what we might recognize is that we're right back to this same point that keeps getting pounded and pounded and pounded from James, from Peter, now from John. You have to live what you say you believe. Your actions actually matter in the equation. We can't make a faith claim that has no action to back it up. We can't claim to walk in the love of God if we don't love and care for one another. Faith and love aren't just topics for discussion. This is a way of life. In fact, the way of life, because it is the way of Jesus. Here's how John puts it, and I quote, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God." So our faith in God tells us that His love for us is to be received and given away. When we're trying to hoard things so that God's blessings remain in our hands, we are supremely limiting ourselves. If we understand that God's love has not run dry for the world, for the people on the earth, even after all of these thousands and thousands of years, His compassion and mercy and kindness and love for humanity has not run dry and will not run dry for us, then we realize that we can be like a reservoir, receiving and sending out, receiving and sending out, constantly as a way of life. The love that we receive is the love that we give, is the love that we receive, is the love that we give, and it just keeps repeating itself. The best analogy I have ever come up with, and so I use it often enough, is some geographical landmarks that are biblical. The first one being the Dead Sea. We've read of the Dead Sea in the Bible, but there is a Dead Sea. And it's a large lake that collects the water that flows down to the lowest point on the planet. The Dead Sea being the lowest point on planet Earth, below sea level. Because it's at the bottom, like there's no lower than the Dead Sea, everything that collects there has nowhere to go. It's run all the way down to the bottom of the land on Earth. And it's dead and lifeless. Super cool place to behold, but you don't go into the Dead Sea thinking that you might see the fins of a shark or fish swimming around you. They won't be. They don't live there. It's dead. On the other hand, not that far to the north of the Dead Sea is another famous body of water called the Sea of Galilee. Jesus did a majority of his ministry around the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is also a lake below sea level. It's the lowest freshwater lake in the world below sea level. The Sea of Galilee feeds the Dead Sea. It receives water from the nearby mountains and all of the streams that feed into the Sea of Galilee. It's a freshwater lake. It's not dead. It's alive. And we know that scientifically, but we know that from the scriptures. What did Jesus' disciples mostly do? They fished in the Sea of Galilee. It's alive. The reason is that it has water flowing into it and water flowing out of it, making its way down to the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is not stagnant or dead because of the inflow and the outflow. By the time that the water gets to the Dead Sea, there's nowhere for it to go. It's hoarded there at the bottom of the earth where everything is dead. What First John is essentially telling us is there is no shortage of God's love. We are either going to be hoarding it and allowing it to become stagnated within us, or we're going to be a reservoir of inflow and outflow as a way of life, understanding that there is no shortage of God's love. It won't stop flowing. So we can give away all of the love in our hearts with corresponding action to back it up, knowing that there is an endless, eternal supply. And so as we continue our journey into the holiday season and toward the end of the year, there's some bombs being dropped here out of the Bible that so affect the way that we live if we would listen to them. There is no shortage of God's love. We can receive His love and close our hearts and become stagnant. Or we can have open hands and open hearts and allow ourselves to be a reservoir that love is flowing into and out of. I've been to the Sea of Galilee lots of times, and it's been around a long time because it's mentioned so much in the Bible. So that body of water has been there for thousands and thousands of years, and it's not empty. And yet it is sending out billions of gallons from itself as water flows out of it. And yet it's still there. It's not empty. It hasn't run dry. If we envision our hearts after this fashion, we have a good chance of being a lot more clear-headed and open-minded and open-hearted, knowing that that love that rains down upon us is there to be temporary and given away because a new supply is constantly flowing in. It's extraordinarily idealistic to think about it, but imagine what the world would look like if that were our reality. And then let's understand that that is where everything is headed. That's where we're going, because that is what the kingdom of heaven is shaped like, according to the scriptures. So the quicker that we can transition into living in the kingdom with open hearts and open hands, the quicker that we get to participate in God's intentions. Nobody should be unloved, right? Nobody should be unloved. And we carry within us an endless, continually replenished supply. Father, we're really describing how you are, as told in the scriptures, that you are love. And we are collaborating with you as your body, as the hands and feet of Jesus in this world, when love is the currency of our lives. If we are ridiculed or marginalized or any negative thing, if we pay that back with love, we have removed the power of darkness from the situation and removed it from the world. Love conquers all, we're told by the scriptures. Holy Spirit, we ask that you reveal to us what that means to us, to our lives, into our stories. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and that's certainly where you find out what's going on around here anytime, but this is Christmas time, so there are some special things going on around here. First off, it's time to get ready for our virtual family Christmas party that we have each year, and that happens by us calling in our holiday greetings to the community here that we've been sharing a whole year together every day with. And it's pretty simple. We have a hotline in our app, and we also have 877-942-4253 as the number that you can call. And those are typically for prayer requests, and encouragements. And that's how it is always, except for this one week of the year when you can also call in your holiday greeting to the Daily Audio Bible community. So you can use the same hotline, you can use the same phone number that you would normally use to call in a prayer request. In fact, maybe you have a prayer request, and you can use the hotline or the prayer line to call that in. But if you also have a holiday greeting, don't combine it in the call that you're calling your prayer request in. Make those separate. It's the one time a year where it's okay to hang up and call right back. And we will take those calls all the way through December 8th. And then we will get to the business of putting it all together. So don't delay, don't procrastinate if you want to participate. Let's see, the Daily Audio Bible Family Christmas Box for 2021 is available now while supplies last. And it is full of resources from Daily Audio Bible, some that you may want to keep, some that you may consider giving away. Maybe you just want it all for yourself, but there are a number of items in there from the Daily Audio Bible resources that we've handpicked that we think will bring the joy of Christmas into your life, as well as a connection to the global campfire that we have shared all year long. So you can check that out, see the contents, look it over in the Daily Audio Bible shop in the Christmas section. We have released Promised Land, photographs from the land of the Bible, which makes a really fantastic gift. We decided that if we were going to do this, we were going to do it right. And it is right. It is beautiful. It will last. It is made of very, very high quality materials. And I think does an honor to the effort that was put into it over many, many, many years. And so it is a book of photography, obviously, but there are plenty of words in there describing the different regions of the Bible that the photographs are inviting us to look at. And so it is a wonderful piece. You can check that out at dailyaudiobible.com in the shop as well. And then our brand new Christmas album for 2021. It's called Christmas Time. And this resource was produced and arranged by my son, Maxwell. So if you search Maxwell Harden or Christmas Time, you should be able to find it. That is out now. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you from the bottom of all of our hearts. Thank you for your partnership. We wouldn't be here without it, and we wouldn't be here if we weren't in this together. So thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, or right now, a holiday greeting, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, family, it's Tony the truck driver calling today for my brother Renzo. I heard his prayer request with his father looking for a job and for his mother healing of her ear. And Renzo, I just said a prayer for you. We just lift you up as a family, Lord, and we just ask that you bless Renzo's mother, that healing would come to her ear in the name of Jesus, and that she would come out better than she was before. Father, we pray for Renzo's father as well, that he would find a job better than the one that he had before, Lord God, and that he would be able to provide for his family. And we praying for you, Renzo, as well, with your ministry. Brother, it just helps me because I want to get the ministry going since my prison ministry we can't go into prison right now, so I'm just trying to find my way and do some street evangelism or something. honey, and know God is with you and the Holy Spirit is with you. So just bless you, brother. And also praying for Crystal and her family, her situation with her husband. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would just touch Crystal, her children, mend the relationship between her and her husband. If that is your will, Father, and that you would just give her strength and faith in you to wait on you to move in this situation. And I just pray healing for her and her family in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, family. Love you guys. Still listening every day. God bless you. Tony the truck driver.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower, calling. And I would like to pray for Daniel Johnson Jr. Lord God, just be with him as he is exhausted and he is wanting to have rest in this Christmas season. I pray, Lord God, that he would sit with you, that he would find rest in you, that he would find peace in you. I pray, dear God, that he would be still with you. And when he needs the energy, I pray that you would give him everything he needs to be your faithful and good servant. I'd also like to pray for Tyler. I love that phrase that you use, Tyler, plastic forgiveness. That is so descriptive. But I pray, dear God, that Tyler would receive relief from you from this depression, that it would be lifted up, and that the forgiveness that he needs would be real. Lord God, forgiveness is an action verb, and we have to decide to forgive before we can feel forgiveness. So I pray this on Tyler, and that you would watch over him and just lift him out of this fog of gloom and raise him up, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray.
Hi, Jeppers. This is Miss Sandra, Florida. Prayer going out for Taylor, who is struggling from depression and unforgiveness. And Father God, we lift up Taylor to you in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over him, Father. We pray that you empower him with your strength. We come against the enemy's attacks on his thought life, his imagination life, giving him bitterness and awful thoughts of unforgiveness, Lord God. We know that's not from you. And Father God, we know your word says, if you from your heart don't forgive your brother his trespasses, that you won't forgive ours, Lord. And I know, Father God, your word says our healing begins. It begins with forgiving others. So, Taylor, I pray that you would take one step at a time, journal, write down the things that's bothering you, turn them over to the Lord. How big is it? Turn it over to the Lord. Forgive your brother, your sister, those wounds that Satan keeps reminding you of. They are not worth carrying around. And after you do that, Taylor, you make a journal about forgiving yourself. That's the big key. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. And I pray that God will set you free from bitterness, rage, anger, self-hatred, and guilt. And I pray this in Jesus' name. I will be praying for you. We all be praying for you. We come against this suppression. And we pray God will just give you a joy that just is incredibly huge in your heart right now, that you wouldn't be able to stop dancing. I pray that you turn on the radio, the Christian radio, and that you start singing and praising and worshiping God. In Jesus' name I pray. Keep praying, brother.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is La Chula from Los Angeles. And I heard a beautiful prayer request over the men in our families, particularly a husband. And I just want to take the time to thank the Lord for my husband. In 2018, we went through a really rough season, particularly me, you know, trying to peel back the layers of my heart, my soul, my thoughts, and really let the Lord penetrate into my heart and find the worthiness that I thought I didn't have, and peel away shame and guilt and everything that made me come to just kind of like a breakdown at that time. And my husband and I got separated at that time, but he never stopped praying over me. He continued to believe, and through that, he got closer to the Lord. And, you know, we did manage to go to counseling and hold on to our faith and rebuild. And so although we've been together for 21 years, it feels like just 2 years of getting to know each other again. And I just want to say that God restores and God reveals and God is good. And my husband introduced me to the Daily Audio Bible, and my life has been so much better for that. Thank you, Brian and Jill and China and all your children for pouring into lives daily. I don't know what my life would be like without the word, the truth, the light, God's presence. And I just want to say thank you and have a beautiful December. May it bring abundance.
Good evening, family. I was recently diagnosed with COVID-19, and I'm needing your help and prayer. I have a toddler that was just diagnosed as well. She's not been feeling good tonight. She's already thrown up twice. I'm asking for your prayers. My wife is currently pregnant with her newborn, and I'm concerned that she might get it too.